Well, it says it's all transforming lives. And the main name for the Methodist schools is like Kingswood, which has been going on for 275 years now. So it's good to see that, and them embracing John Wesley's almost mantra of doing all the good that you can in all the places that you can, as ever long that you can. And also John Wesley saying that powerful phrase that when he was asked, remember, he came out of the Church of England and he started preaching on horseback on the village greens and didn't have a church building. And when asked where his parish was, he said, the world is my parish. So I think I must embrace it, because every time people ask me, what church do you belong to? Are you from the Zen? I said, no, I'm just roaming about. So the world is my parish. Anyway. So, let's hear God's word. So, it's the start of a new school year. And like I said, at the start of the service, we are celebrating Education Sunday today. Right. Education Sunday is the time when we think about all those involved in teaching, in learning, in schools and colleges, in nurseries and universities, online or in person, no matter how old or how young we are. Is anybody here still learning? Yeah, that's good to see the hands up. Have we got people who actually go to school? Anybody who goes to school? Somebody is looking at me and feeling embarrassed. That's my son. He goes to school, I know that. So, I was saying that has anyone taught you something that you'll never forget? Has anyone taught you something that you'll never forget? Okay.
There's nothing perfect in this world.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Anything else that you've learned from somebody? Yeah, and I think you forgot about that. There's nothing perfect in this world because some people have given themselves to, you know, madness and stuff, thinking that they've got to be perfect. And there's nothing perfect in this world, and we are not perfect as human beings. So we've got to learn to adjust, we've got to learn to accommodate one another with our vulnerabilities, with our weaknesses, and different things. Thank you very much for that. So we learn. And we learn from each other and we teach others, you know, different things at different times. And we never stop learning. Education is more than just what we learn at school, isn't it? Yeah, we learn so much. We learn at home, we learn when we come to church. We learn on the bus. We learn when we engage with people, talking to them. Some things that come out of in conversation, sometimes you don't even know about them, and sometimes it's all when you're talking to people, then it drops, and you know, it gives you a good understanding of different things. So there are loads of different ways of teaching and loads of different ways of learning. So if we go back to the theme for today, is the armor of light. And armor is generally something solid, something impenetrable, something to protect the person that's wearing it from deadly weapons and the dangers of the outside world. And we know people who used to wear armor. Was it in medieval times that you had all those knights and people who would wear, you know, their armors, you know, to stop invaders and people who threatened to kill them and all that sort of things. So knights were the most feared, the best protected warriors in the battlefield. But the armor of light that we're talking about in the Bible is not that kind of armor, isn't it? I don't know why the analogy is there, but the armor is quite the opposite. It is our spiritual wardrobe. So instead of shutting its wearers off to protect them from the world, the armor of light brings light and warmth to the people. It is not
an armor worn out of fear, but rather it is worn to give hope. In Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14, Paul urges us to put on this armor of light, because in Christ we have become creatures of day, creatures of hope. In Christ, the night of sin, it says, has passed. And what we must now focus on are the honorable deeds of daylight. Look at how bright it is. What are we going to do in this daylight that is going to be beneficial to other people? When we leave this place, how are we going to engage with our neighbors? When we leave this place, how are we going to engage with the next person? Maybe who is in need of whatever it is. The world around us is experiencing a lot of problems, as we know. The cost of living crisis is pushing people across the country and indeed across the world quite literally into serious hardship. Many children and young adults in education more than ever need concrete support to cover basic needs like food. Well, I'm talking about concrete. And we know what we've been hearing the past week or so. What is it that we've been hearing? Lack. Lack. That is the word that is some kind of concrete that was used in building, you know, things long time ago, which is now posing a problem. And which, just before kids are due to return to school, the government said, oh, lack. They can't, the gym, the school can't open, or this building is unsafe, so that has got to be looked into. So there are problems and problems. My son's school kitchen is closed. The swimming pool in the school is closed. Some of the classes that they're using is closed. Every day now we have to do packed lunch. No hot meals in school, but at least the school is not entirely shut. I don't know if any school across the country has been entirely shut due to that, but there are disruptions because head teachers have now got to do some adjustments to make, you know, sure that the children come back to school in a safe environment. So in addition to that also, there are lots of people facing all sorts of mental health issues, you know, emanating from one thing or another, and that has to be dealt with. An NHS survey in 2022 found that children with probable mental health problems felt less safe at schools and were less likely to enjoy learning than those without a mental health disorder. So again, schools have got to adjust all the time. Yesterday I was listening to something on the radio. They were talking about social, what is it now? Like how people want to change their sex and how this is rolling out in schools, which they're not doing it medically, but socially. You know, if some children wants to change their pronouns, or they want to start wearing certain uniforms to school, and all of those things, the school leadership has got to address that. And sometimes, again, that's where the church comes in with chaplaincy, with pastoral care, you know, to engage with people, to engage with teachers, engage with parents, engage with children, to see what is best for them. So add to all of this, we have the uncertainty that has been caused by the war in Ukraine, which is, because we're in Europe, it's affecting us more than anything else. But there are other wars going on across the world, which is causing problems, you know, of different kinds. Brexit for us has worsened, you know, the cost of living crisis, for example. You know, things that were ordered for in France has now got to be ordered for in South Africa or in India, and that's putting on the cost, you know, of transportation and all of those things. And of course, we're talking about the heat, the worsening climate catastrophe. such as the wildfires that we saw in parts of Europe in July and in August, and our own scorching heat that we're experiencing right now. Just yesterday, we heard about the earthquake in Morocco, which unfortunately has taken over 2,000 lives, you know. And there's a lot that is going on. There's a lot that we have to deal with as a human race. And in Exodus 12, God said that he was preparing the Israelites to leave Egypt, the country of their enslavement. The ultimate goal is a land of milk and honey, a place where they're meant to be free, meant to be able to be themselves, meant to flourish. We know how it is with people trying to reach safety, people crossing boats and perishing because they want to come to the UK to get a better life. People are doing all sorts of strange things because life is so hard in so many different parts of the world, and they're looking to come to a place where they think it's a land of milk and honey, where they think that at least they can have a square meal, you know, in any given day, and not go hungry. And according to biblical narrative, like the Israelites, they journeyed for 40 years, during which they wandered through the desert, and, you know, there was a lot. There was a lot that they had to go through. So maybe if we think about our own lives now, if we think about the lives of people journeying, trying to do things, if we think about so many places, so many countries where children going to school is a problem, where education is kind of non-existent, and you're thinking, what is the future of those places? We think about places like Afghanistan, for example, where the education of girls, you know, is becoming a problem. You know, they don't want girls to be educated. And you're thinking, all those people, what would they be? What would their lives be in the next 20, 30 years or so? So teaching and learning is often described as a way of bringing light into dark places, bringing opportunity and understanding, and encouraging people to grow. The armor of light reminds us that we must always be vigilant, always work together to bring about the good, to bring about the best in somebody. And as people of faith, it is our task, no matter what trials present themselves, it is our task to be there to enable people to be their best selves, to enable people to reach their potential, to enable people to be the best that God had created them to be. And this is the church's mission, that is spacious, adventurous, and we should not be afraid to engage and enable people to be their best selves. Education is like a lantern which lights our way in a dark alley. The more we learn, the more we understand about how the world works, what makes us and other people tick. We learn who to trust and who not to trust. How to think about what people tell us instead of question and do researches also to find out what is true rather than just taking things for granted, or just going about with our prejudices and what we think that that is what is happening. Like armor, it protects us from being tricked or misled, because we're in a position when we learn, when we have knowledge, to know what is the reality, you know, and what is true. And it was Nelson Mandela who once said that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. But God's light is important in bringing opportunity and understanding and encouraging people to grow. Even if it does take us a whole generation or more to resolve the problems that we're facing now, let us make a start on this Education Sunday to think about ways in which we can journey together with children and young adults in education so that they can find hope, so that they can find light and a place in which they can flourish. I wonder what the dark places are where we need to bring light in this community, in Southgate, for example. I don't know much about Southgate, but I suppose some of you know very well. Is it a place where there are schools, where as a circuit, maybe, you know, as a church, we could maybe start something in going into schools and doing school assemblies or engaging, you know, with the schools in seeing sometimes what their needs are, in being, you know, providing some kind of tools or help in, you know, the area. Let's think about it. Let's think, you know, outside of the box, outside of our building here. Let's think what's going on outside, especially in the realm of education, especially where people are involved. Maybe we'll go to Barnett College, you know, and tell them that, oh, we've got somebody from here who is going to start, you know, learning there as well, you know. And is there anything maybe that they need from us, or can we partner with them, all in helping our community to thrive and flourish? Sometimes we might feel that, oh, what I'm thinking is just a small thing, but nothing is ever small, nothing is too big. I think if we voice it out and we think about it and we bring it together in our meetings and stuff, and I think we can work on it or work with stuff and then take it from there. Education Sunday is a call to the church to support and engage with its community of educators in church schools with their Christian vision, under the overarching vision of being deeply Christian, serving the common good. There's every opportunity to become a community that explores together what this means in practice. It is worth, you know, maybe engaging with head teachers, like I'm saying, or governors, considering how to nurture a sense of community amongst their teams. Or maybe it not be just this area, but at least as a circuit place in Enfield. You know, there are places in Enfield where things are needed. So for example, around the space area, we've been thinking about organizing like adult classes for people who are, you know, English is not their first language. So we've been trying to engage with the Enfield College and seeing how maybe they can provide teachers and how we can help that community on the Elsinj estate, because we have lots of people there for whom English is not their first language. We've been working with one of the schools on the estate as well, going into the school and helping, you know, with whatever is needed. So we've been engaging with the head teacher and the teachers and parents whose children go to that school. So we can have a broad thing, you know, across the circuit if we think about other areas in Enfield where we think, you know, things might be done, where we think the church might be useful in engaging with those educational establishments. So we know that God has not left us without many indications of how he will equip us to do what he has called us to do in this part of the world. Because we are called to be church. We're called to be a community of believers. And I believe now, more than ever before, our task is to come out of our buildings, come out of our comfort zone, and see how we can engage more with those who are outside, and see how we can, you know, be resourceful, and see how we can be more meaningful in our Christian ethos, in our Christian thinking, and in our Christian understanding of who God has called us to be. And it was the great 20th century Christian martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He taught at an underground seminary during the rise of Nazi Germany. In 1939, he wrote a book entitled Life Together. Life Together is a way to describe community of light and of love. Life Together in the early Christian church was named Koinonia in Greek. In his book, Life Together, Bonhoeffer wrote, he said, nothing could be more cruel than the tenderness that consigns another to sin. Nothing could be more compassionate than the severe rebuke that calls a sister or a brother from the path of sin. In other words, he was saying that we must endeavor to care for each other. We must live out the greatest commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. There is no commandment greater than these. The expression armor of light reminds us of the armor of God in Ephesians 6:11, that we must put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. The armor of light protects us. The armor of light also empowers us and allows us to see and find our way in the dark. So my dear brothers and sisters at Southgate, let us put on the armor of light. Let us love one another unconditionally, even as Christ has loved us. Amen.